Well, let's welcome back Manager Mike Meyer. Mike, do you have team updates for us?
I do. We recently acquired Madison Younger, former Major League pitcher. He joined us Tuesday, got in the game yesterday for the first time, and looks really good, really sharp. 93-95, he's got a really good changeup, and he's got a good cutter. So we'll start off with him in the bullpen, and he wants to start, and we got to try to kind of build him up a little bit. I think he could probably go out and give us two or three the first time out. So we're going to see if we can't do that out of the bullpen and work him up to where we can put him in the rotation.
Well, before we jump into fan questions, there are a couple of things I wanted to ask you about. One in particular was off of something Chris Coase said to me a few days ago. So maybe fans kind of appreciate this or haven't really come to realize this. When you sign a guy, like let's say you have you're bringing in a new pitcher for your team, is there are you given a grace period or some kind of, is he on the roster from the very start? How does that exactly work for you?
So you agree to terms with them, and then they have to get a clean PCR test before they can show up to your city. So that can take, upwards of a week or 10 days. And then when they get to your city, they have to take an antigen COVID-19 test, which is another day, before they're allowed to get their physical, and then they're on the roster. So they've already agreed to terms. So basically you have however long it takes for them to get cleared, where they're not taking up a roster spot on your roster until they get active, whenever you officially activate that guy.
So a guy who gets injured could take you 7 to 10 days to replace him. Is that accurate?
Yeah, unless you've got somebody that's already kind of queued up. Like, we've been fortunate where I was already kind of in the works talking with guys and had dialogue and was going to bring them in and figure out what roster move I was going to make when we had a couple of our injuries. So we were able to get them here within a matter of 2 to 3 days because they had already taken their PCR test, had already gotten their results, and it was just a matter of them driving here and getting a clean antigen test and getting their physical and to get activated. So we've got a couple more guys coming in, the next 4 or 5 days, because we've had some injuries, so they'll cover us up here. But we've been trying to be really active in making sure that we've got dialogue and we've got, players that we're looking to bring in just in case somebody's struggling or somebody gets hurt and you need to make that move.
Now, I wanted to ask you about this because last year, I know one of the big trouble spots for you was the bullpen. And I was looking at, after 7 innings when you guys are leading this season, 10-1, 11-1 when leading after 8. I mean, kind of what a difference a year makes.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got 4 guys down there that we really, really like, and we'll use them in any situation in the back end. So we're really happy about the way our bullpen has been for the season. My big concern, is that we've had to run them out there quite a bit. Now, that's kind of twofold. One, we've been winning a lot of games, so they're going to be used a lot more. But the other is we haven't really been consistently getting deep into games from our rotation. And so we have to kind of go 4 innings out of the bullpen every night, which can be pretty demanding on the bullpen. So hopefully we can shore up our rotation enough to where we're consistently getting 6 innings and we don't, have to overuse those guys in the back end because they're pretty special.
Well, we'll jump into fan questions, and we start with Joe, who would like to know, how many home runs do you think the team will hit this season?
Oh, man, who knows? It really depends on the wind. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. I guess it's on par with 2020. We'll have days when the wind is howling out at, 15 to 20. And then we've got just as many days where the wind's blowing in, 15 to 20. So it really depends on if we get a streak here of, you know, really we have enough juice that we don't need the wind blowing out. It's actually a benefit for us when the wind is kind of blowing sideways, you know, one way or the other, because I think our lineup and our ballpark is really tough. So we can use that to our advantage, but my goodness, we've had games where we would have hit 7-8 home runs, but the wind is blowing dead in at 20 miles an hour. You know, so I think it depends on what the wind is, but per game, I think this team has a chance to be right on par with the 2010 team.
It says, looking at how well Alea is doing and wondering if he hit 400 in this shortened season, would that still be considered the league record?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they would do with the record books. You know, I imagine it would count, depending on if he gets the minimum number of at-bats, and I don't know what the minimum number of at-bats, you know, for a 100-game season, if they would count that. You know, that if he got enough to hit that mark or not. But yeah, it's, he's having a heck of a start, and, it's kind of a crazy year. And, you know, I'm not sure anyone really knows, you know, what to do with a lot of that stuff.
Carter says, looking at the staff ERA, do you see a shakeup at all with these guys having ERAs over 5?
I think that we need to be healthy, you know. I'm not going to name names, but we lost 3 starting pitchers in the same kind of 3-game stretch here. You know, so we're banged up pretty good. You know, we've got to move guys into the rotation. Hire's moving into the rotation. Fulman's moving into the rotation. We added Madison, Young, and Erin. He'll help. And I got 2 more rotation guys on their way, you know, that I can't really name yet. But it's more about us somehow figuring out a way to stay healthy. It's something that we've never been able to do. I don't know if it's the mound or what, but for some reason it seems like we had more injuries than anybody else, and you know, and pretty big injuries too. So it's one of those deals where we need to figure out how to be healthy and not really worry about so much about, you know, our ERAs.
Luke would like to know, he says, Winnipeg and the Canaries have both looked really good. At this point, how many wins will the top team have, do you think?
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, who knows? I honestly, I don't really see anybody getting more than 40 wins, just because I think the league is so darn good and it's really deep. And, you know, as we've seen these last few days, you know, Fargo's kind of making a little bit of a move now. They've been playing, you know, pretty good baseball against St. Paul, and, you know, we've got our first taste of Milwaukee, and I think, you know, we match up really well with them, but they're good. They're solid. And Chicago's been playing better baseball. I don't really see any team, you know, getting out there and just, you know, going 40 and 20. I think it's probably going to be closer to 35, 37 is what I would think is going to be where you need to be.
Ty says, how does a major league team with all their millions of dollars spent on a staff have half of one team get infected with COVID-19 and you guys are on a shoestring budget and are clean? Someone should be talking to you guys, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, actually, I think that MLB has been talking to our league office about protocols and how we've been able to stay healthy and that sort of thing. I think there's multiple reasons. One, we're in kind of smaller towns where COVID hasn't really been as big of a, you know, a factor. So that helps. Two, our league, we wanted to make sure we were keeping our guys safe. And we basically, all the organizations told their guys, look, you're just not going to be able to go out. You're not going to be able to go get a drink after a game or go to a restaurant. You need to order or take out, you know, food, whatever that may be, where they don't really have those rules with MLB. So guys can still go to their favorite restaurant, and they're playing in major cities. You know, so there's more case numbers in the big cities than there are in you know, in Fargo and Sioux Falls, Franklin and Rosemont. So I think it's a couple of those factors where they need trying to realize, look, you can't just go business as usual and after the game go to your favorite restaurant or go out to the bar or go dancing, you know, something that you might normally do.
Dinah says, it's nice to see Major League Baseball playing once again, but I have to say that these fake fans behind home plate is kind of dumb. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I think it's, you know, it was kind of funny when you see the cardboard cutouts the first, you know, the first game or whatever. And I know, I think it's Fox or one of the channels is, you know, digitally imposing, you know, the fans in the outfield and stuff like that. But I don't think it's necessary. I think, you know, people that want to watch baseball are going to watch baseball because they want to watch baseball, not because there's, you know, fans in the stands or the crowd noise. You know, I think it's just kind of silly. And I think that, you know, I heard on the radio, they're trying to capture a younger audience. And I don't see that. I don't see that as a way to capture a younger audience.
You know, quite a number of months ago when they were discussing whether they were going to play at all, I remember Steve Montgomery telling me that one of the things he liked about no fans is that you could get a true sense of what it sounded like when a 100-mile-an-hour fastball hit a glove or when a guy really laced into a ball. And I think that crowd noise takes away from that.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard any of the, like, the exhibition games and or some of the places. You can really hear the crack of the bat. And or you can almost hear people that haven't been up close to a guy throwing 100. It has you can hear it cutting through the air. It's a distinct sound, and you can almost hear it when there's nobody in the stands and you're, you know, watching the games on TV, and you can clearly hear the snap of the glove when, you know, when they're throwing 95, 98. And, you know, I think that would be something, you know, pretty awesome, or mic up the players or, you know, something like that.
William would like to know, how do you like Major League Baseball increasing the number of playoff teams?
You know, I don't know that I love it. We'll have to see how it plays out. I'm a little bit of a purist when it comes to that. You know, I think that's one thing that separates Major League Baseball from the other sports when, you know, if you show up to all your games, you get into the postseason. And so what's the point of even playing the regular season? You might as well just skip the regular season of the NBA and just go straight to the playoffs. You know, I think that's what makes our game special and what makes the regular season the most important regular season of the sports. And, you know, I think if you just saturate it and you're going half or more than half playoff teams, it kind of makes the regular season irrelevant. You might as well just cut it down to 100 games and play like the American Association does and just have an expanded, you know, playoff.
Jack says, Skipper, I have been battling a little tendonitis in my elbow. Do you have advice or tips on how I can deal with that to fix it?
Ooh, that's tough. Yeah, so there's the little, the tennis elbow braces, you know, you can get those pretty much anywhere, and it puts pressure on that spot of your elbow, and those seem to work really well. Or rest. Rest is obviously the most important thing. It just takes some time of not using it to get it, you know, to all the swelling stuff to go down and for you to get yourself right again. But they do have those little braces that you can put on, and I don't think they're very expensive. And they just kind of put a little bit of pressure on those muscles where that tendon is.
Dennis would like to know, what do you do when you're giving advice to a player that you know would benefit them, but they simply don't want to listen to you?
You just keep, you know, doing your best. You try to find different ways to approach them. You know, not everybody learns at the same rate, or, you know, not everybody is receptive So sometimes, you know, you just have to take a step back. And a lot of the time, I just try to be really patient where I'll make it, you know, I'll say something here or there, but I don't push it. And then I wait for them to come to me, because when they come to me, then I know that they're ready to listen. And a lot of the time, you know, they have to fail first. It's really hard to go to somebody who's, you know, got a 3.5 ERA and is doing really well for us, you know, that, hey, you think they need to throw their changeup more, or, you know, change the grip on their breaking ball, because they're going to look at you like you're an idiot. And it takes a little bit of failure for them to then open their eyes a little bit to say, hey, maybe I do need to make an adjustment. You know, so a lot of the times it's just really just being patient.
Max says, you were talking last week about telling your guys to attack more at the plate and not take as many pitches. That seems to be flying in the face of all these sabermetrics guys who want 5 and 6 pitch at bats every time a guy comes to the plate. Why do you propose a more aggressive style?
Well, I know that it's different in the big leagues because all of those pitchers have exploding stuff, and most of them are able to locate and basically do what they want, you know, with everybody that they're facing. Where in our league, we still have explosive stuff. The guys aren't generally able to command their stuff as well, so they're going to make more mistakes. I think, I don't know exact numbers, but it's something like in every at-bat in the big leagues, those guys get one pitch to hit. Where in our league, they get 2 pitches to hit. And we just want to make sure we're ready to hit those pitches. So the philosophy we have is we want to ambush early. So if in the first, you know, first or second pitch of the at-bat, we get a cookie, we want to be ready to hit that thing. We don't want to take it because we're working counts, because then you're only getting one more, you know, hopefully one more good pitch to hit in that at-bat. And if you foul that ball off, it's really hard to hit after that. You know, you want to make sure you're not missing when you get a cookie. So we're going to try to ambush and we're going to be aggressive early in counts. But then when we get to 2 strikes, you'll take notice, we shorten up, we battle, we scrap, we claw. Most of our walks come when we're 0-2 because we then start to foul pitches off and they don't want to make a mistake, and it becomes a 3-2 count, and we foul a couple more off, and then we take our walks. So, you know, that's kind of the philosophy that we have, is we want to do damage early in that bat and then grind out the at-bat after we get down a couple strikes.
Bruce would like to know, is it a good idea to play softball, or can that actually mess up your swing for baseball?
Yeah, it's a little different. It's a little different. I don't necessarily think it's going to be detrimental to you if you're playing it in the off season. You know, but certainly, you know, sometimes guys even struggle after they go play a round of golf or two, you know, it kind of changes their swing a little bit. You know, so it's one of those deals where, you know, during season, I wouldn't recommend it, but I don't think it really matters in the off season.
Ollie asks, Mike, glad to hear you are a Walking Dead fan as well. Do you think that they have to change a lot of the storylines because it will be a year before they are able to start filming again?
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen and what direction they're going to go. But, you know, maybe we'll have one of those, you know, fast-forward deals where it's a couple of years into the, you know, into the future or something like that. I'm not sure what they'll end up doing, but I know I'll be watching. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think Judith is going to look 12 or whatever she is right now anymore.
Yeah,
so
you're right, exactly.
Emma would like to know, what is the best piece of advice you can give to a couple who is just about to get married?
Oh man, you know, be honest with each other. Communicate. You know. It's not gonna be, you know, rainbows and unicorns all the time. It's just not. There's gonna be tough times. You guys are gonna hate each other at times. But as long as you continue to communicate with each other and be honest with each other, you know, the love that you have for each other will get you through it. I mean, you're getting married for a reason. So, you know, just make sure that you're continuing to communicate and being honest with each other.
Bob would like to know, what attracted you to your wife from the start?
Well, she was a fierce competitor. You know, obviously, physical attraction is first. I thought she was, you know, was beautiful. But she was, you know, ultimate competitor. I loved watching her compete. And we just started kind of seeing each other on campus, you know, quite a bit. And turns out she was really funny too. So that was big for me, you know, and we just got along really well and, you know, kind of hit it off, started dating right away, and we've been together ever since.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Parcheesi game in the Meyer household must really be something.
Yeah.
And we end with Guy, who would like to know, does your wife make a honey-do list for you?
It's not really a honey-do list, but yes. So there's always projects that need to be done when I get home, and I usually try to knock those out as quick as I can when I get back home, but inevitably there's a laundry list of things that need to be done before I take off again. And usually it's like, oh shoot, I wanted this and this and this. And so I'm in scramble mode a little bit because normally it's like a couple weeks and there's a bunch of things that need to be done. But I do my best because she takes care of the house and the kids and, you know, our life for 4.5 months when I'm gone. So I got to make sure I'm doing my part.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Mike.
All right, Rob. Appreciate it. You guys have a good week.